Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed and Walker. We thank you for listening. If you want to watch the show, go to Facebook and YouTube, Facebook or YouTube. You can watch the show there, or we also are posting the stories that we discuss, so you can access the original sources of our news conversation there on Facebook. Just type in Today's Issues for Facebook and YouTube. If you would like to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Steve Jordahl joined us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Steve, maybe we can get back to this later in the program. And we do have Dan Celia is going to be joining us momentarily.
Yeah.
But before we get to Dan, California, your home state, we've asked you about this before, but every day I'm seeing these fires that are – last year it was Northern California. Now it's – or maybe it was
both. This year. Yeah, so there's six or seven fires burning in California. Two of them are large and critical. The one in Northern California, I'm sorry, the one in Southern California is called the Getty Fire, and it is 5% contained, 600 acres, 20,000 people remain under evacuation. Eight residences have been destroyed, six have been damaged, at least 10,000 residences remain threatened by the fire. This is the Getty, it's named after the Getty Museum, and it is kind of threatening some fairly exclusive neighborhoods, let's say, which is why it's on the radar here. But really the big fire is in Northern California still, the Kincade Fire, and as of about an hour ago, 75,000 acres burned, only 15% contained. More than 100 structures destroyed. It was yesterday under hurricane force winds was growing at the rate of one football field every 3 seconds. You can't outrun this thing.
We saw that last year when somebody mentioned the speed with which these things spread.
Right,
and that was shocking.
Well, it spreads at the rate of the fire. I mean, at the wind. If the wind is blowing it, because it's embers that get blown up in the air, and then they shoot forward and they land and they catch more fires. They say they hope to have the fire contained by November 7th, that's like a week away or more, but caution, it could take months for the fires to be completely out.
That is, are you talking about both the ones in Southern and Northern California?
Yes.
Well, I was telling during the break, I was talking to Tim and Walker, and looked on Fox News. Every time these fires occur, there's always video of people trying to escape. They're driving, and there's fire on both sides of the road.
Right.
It's terrifying to watch.
It has to be. PG&E, again, now has going to today, it says it intends to interrupt power to more than 500,000 people in 29 counties in Central and Northern California. In Southern California, about 205,000 customers in seven counties are under consideration for possible shutoff. And I just, I was reading this. There is a, see if I can pull this one up. There's a gentleman that has, he's talking about what's causing this in California. His house came under threat. And he says that it's because of the wildlife people, the ecologists, what's
environmentalists,
in California will not let the state cut trees within a couple feet of power lines. They don't want the trees cut down. They don't want the underbrush culled because it is home to endangered species of some
sort. Well, that's not just – it's not just activists that want that. They've implemented it in regulation and law.
Right.
So they're legally held back from doing the things you're talking about.
Well, remember, there's hardly any conservative pushback in that state. So whatever the left really wants, the left
this
really gets.
This is a situation where someone needs to be asking the question, why do we have, not just why do we have wildfires, why are the wildfires always uncontrollable?
And this is
and it will lead to the question.
For weeks. They go weeks on end.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Huh?
And you're talking about basic forest management that everybody does, every state does.
Except for one.
So you're saying that it's in the name of saving endangered species?
Yeah, you can't prevent wildfires altogether because people do things like drop matches or cigarettes.
There's lightning, there's storms.
But you can do things to make it to when a wildfire does happen, it's not as bad. It doesn't spread as far and fast.
Yep. And they don't do those things.
And they don't implement those things to help control the damage.
Gotcha. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio Network. I think I'm going to take my chances with our tornadoes. Good night.
You know, I was
between
just thinking,
earthquakes and forest fires out in California. I mean, you never know what you're waking up to.
It's not a bad. You know, the other side of that coin though is California, the beach, the sun, the snow.
It's beautiful.
It's a gorgeous.
Haven't been
place.
There, but I've seen pictures.
Then you got a tsunami rolling in.
Good,
right there while you're on the beach with your family. I mean, you can't get away from this kind of stuff.
You know,
that's
just
where
thinking.
Godzilla always comes up. It's in California.
Right. Yeah, yes. I was just thinking that too.
Yeah. What? Godzilla?
Godzilla.
I don't think that's real.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
No, we'll talk about it later.
Okay. All right.
Anyway. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Well, joining us right now is our good friend Dan Celia from Financial Issues. I invited Dan on because I did want to talk about situation with China and the U.S. in terms of trade. Because this is a big, big deal, and I think a lot of Americans don't really understand. They have a basic idea, a basic concept, but a lot of people don't really understand what's going on here and why the president's going to the mat with some of these things that some economists say are going to hurt the president, his chances to win re-election if it backfires on him. Dan, good morning to you, brother.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, guys. How are you all doing? I'm just seeing across the news ticker here on says American Family Radio says let all the endangered species burn. I don't understand. I just turned it in, so I didn't. I'm just trying to figure out what they're talking about.
It's fake news. Fake news.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what it says.
Okay, all
right.
We'll get a
is that what it is?
We'll get a statement out right away.
Yeah. Somebody call the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah, right.
Sure they know that.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's
I'm
okay.
Sorry,
No. We normally like just play it straight here. Don't have any fun or humor. Dan. Okay, you got 10 minutes.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm good.
I think we want to educate ourselves on this for those of us who don't know. The president, so we're going to start with the big picture. The president, when he was candidate Trump, he began to talk a lot about the trade imbalance between the United States and China. I mean, he would bring this up all the time. You could tell it was on his mind. For many Americans, we never even thought about it too much because, I mean, you know, we trade with China. We go to Walmart, and half the stuff we buy is from China. So he cited a trade imbalance, and then when he got into office, he began to implement these tariffs on various things that we traded with China. China fired back, you know, with their own threats and so forth. Can you give us an overview of this, and then tell us where you come down to in terms of what the president's trying to do here?
Well, the president, you know, the trade imbalance with China has been going on a very, very long time through presidents going back to George Sr. And then some. But the trade imbalance has always been horrible. You know, we've given China special status as a developing nation. So we gave a lot of exceptions to China over the years. They've taken great advantage of those exceptions and have taken advantage of those exceptions. And the trade imbalance just continues to grow and grow and grow. And there's not a whole lot we can do about it. And many years ago, everybody was moving over there. Companies were leaving here for the cheap labor. Then about 3 years ago, companies started moving out of China because it was getting too expensive to work there. They were moving to Vietnam and Indonesia and the Philippines primarily. But the trade imbalance has been around a long time. President Trump is the only president in modern history that has not been beholden to China and other special interest groups in reference to this trade imbalance. President Trump actually just cares about the American people and the American economy. So he's in a very unique position to negotiate from an enormous amount of strength. He's in a very bad position, of course he's getting clobbered from the left and even some conservatives. But he's doing what needed to be done many, many years ago, and nobody's had the will to do that, and that is to call China on just what they're doing. Now, as a free market economist, I'm in a different place than most of my fellow free market economists, because I don't believe the president, I don't care a lick about China stealing companies' intellectual property and technology. And here's why I say that. I don't think in our free market economy we should be regulating that. So I disagree with that, because I think if American companies are dumb enough to go over to China and not realize, which they do, that everything they're doing is going to be pirated, stolen, and reverse engineered, then shame on them. Let them go over there and do it. You know, I always use this example. 98% of the people in China operate their computers on Microsoft. 98%. Only 3% of them have paid for Microsoft.
Wow.
I mean, so now wow. I think if Lockheed Martin's going over there, if Boeing's going over there and doing stuff, different story. Now it's a national security issue, and I think that the government needs to step in and make sure that they understand that they got to have, you know, big time security so that national security is not going to be impacted. But these other companies, I don't think we should protect that. But nonetheless, it is a sticking point for the negotiations. But President Trump is sticking to his guns. And look what's happened. What's happened is China's desperate. They have to make a deal. If there was ever a time to make a deal with China, it's going to be right now. China has realized they can't wait until the next election and see what happens, because they're smart enough to realize, you know, the odds are in favor. They're going to be President Trump's going to be the president for another 4 years. But they can't even wait until the next election. That's how bad their economy is.
Dan, Steve Jordahl here, quickly, because I know you've it's the 90th anniversary today of Black Tuesday, so I know you've got parties to get to tonight and everything. I don't want to hold you up. But I was on Market Watch.
I'm going to stay up all night in honor of it. That's right. What I did then. That's what I'm going to do now.
Really? And in 1920,
he was in high school then.
In 1929, yeah. You were in high school? The headline on Market Watch is that stocks are overvalued. Are we going to see another mini Black Tuesday anytime soon?
Listen, the markets, if you look at just the markets and overvaluation, which there is some, you know, overvaluation in the market, no doubt about it. But I don't think we're going to see that. I think we saw it. The Black Tuesday I'm referring to is early October 1987. But right. the I don't think we're going to see that now. I just don't think we're things are very, very different right now. We saw that on February 2nd, 2018, and we saw that again in March of 2018, and we'll probably see it again, those kinds of days. I think that kind of volatility, it was an anomaly back then. It is not so much an anomaly now. It is almost the normal course of business in the market. So could we see 500-600 point swings? Yes, of course we could. And we could see that 400 swing point on the upside the next day and the 200 point swing on the day after that. I mean, the algorithms and the way trading is done right now so fast, it's a very, very different place than where we were back then. So, yeah, we could see something like that. Mm-hmm. But chances are this is going to be one of the best Christmas shopping seasons in history.
Mm-hmm.
This year.
Yeah. Well, I know we're helping because we got 7 grandchildren now. Up by 2 from last year, so more to buy.
A damn thing. After we had our first grandchild, I told Yvonne, I can't afford this anymore. These kids don't have any more. And then we had 7 more. So we're on the verge of bankruptcy. So I get it.
Oh, man. I don't know how you're going to split your estate up. You're right there.
I always tell my wife, my wife's always, you know, she goes to babysit and she says, I got them each a happy, which, you know, usually is food or a toy or something. Right, I said, toys? They have so many toys. Right. It's ridiculous. Right. And then when it comes time for their birthday or Christmas, I'm leading the charge. Let's get them this. Let's get them that.
Right. It's terrible.
Hey, Dan, thanks so much, my friend. Appreciate you being on AFR each morning, giving, you know, your advice and wisdom, and also doing it through a, you know, Christian lens. We appreciate it, brother.
Well, I appreciate you guys in the ministry, and no matter what the headlines say today about this, I'm sticking with you guys.
Okay.
You know,
we appreciate it. See ya.
Hey, we appreciate it. We'll see.
Bye bye. Dan Celia, and you know, my take on stocks is very simple. Stocks go up. And stocks go down, and that's my financial forecast.
That's deep there.
Well, I studied it. I studied it, and I noticed that trend.
Yeah,
since the beginning of time.
Can I make a comment?
Please,
about
go ahead.
The? This is not about your financial wisdom, but
no.
This is about the endangered species that Dan was talking about. One time, I was out camping with some friends, and. This was when I lived out in the West, we were out hunting, shot an eagle. And
you did?
Yeah,
a bald eagle?
Bald eagle. And so we were trying to figure out what to do, and the game warden came up, and he said, who shot the eagle? And we said, no, we don't know who shot it, whatever. And so he said, you know, that's illegal. And I said, listen, it's not like we're going to eat it or anything like that. I said, besides, if we were, I'm guessing it probably tastes like owl.
Okay.
That was a long way to go bad joke.
That was like a minute and a half.
Well, I knew Ed was making that up.
Yeah,
lying
too.
when he admitted to a felony.
He shot an eagle. Right. I don't think we have a statute of limitations for that, Ed. I think you're still in trouble.
So if I ever start off a story by going...
I shot a bald eagle.
You know, I killed somebody last week, and here's how it went.
It should have been a dead giveaway when
I said I hunted.
Yeah, I went hunting.
Well, when you said I shot a, and then fill in
out
the blank.
West.
Yeah.
It was just a joke if there's anyone listening.
Spotted owl.
Yeah,
Walker's the hunter.
I just said spotted owl.
Yeah. Walker's the hunter on the panel here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know not to shoot eagles.
Good.
Although Tim does shoot eagles, but very rarely.
You know you're in Mississippi when you read a news story in the local paper about a guy on a pontoon boat who shoots an eagle out of a tree at a lake.
That really happened?
True story, yep.
Wow.
He got arrested.
Good.
He got more than arrested.
He no longer has a pontoon boat on there.
Yeah, or a vehicle.
Can you not? You can't shoot any kind of against federal law to shoot any kind of eagles, right?
Well, yeah. I think any kind of bird of prey. You can't shoot a hawk.
Oh, really?
Or an owl?
Yeah.
It's like catching up with a hawk. Some of those falcons are really fast. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
We don't do corny jokes here.
Okay.
Steve. Actually,
if you you got to work it up for about a minute and a half.
I didn't spend
it. Really, really let people down.
I got halfway through that and I thought I shouldn't have started this because this is not going
to
be
but
funny enough.
But you had to finish it out, right?
We were all sitting here watching you waiting on the punchline.
I thought this is not going to be funny enough to justify a minute and a half.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Steve, next story, please.
Did you guys talk the first hour about the media coverage of the al-Baghdadi killing in the Washington Post and all?
We did yesterday briefly,
a little bit.
Well, the Washington Post, as we may have said yesterday, decided to put they put 3 headlines together. I want to play two bits of sound. The Washington Post and then the rest of the mainstream media, I want you to hear the way they treated this. This is what you're going to hear is Brian Kilmeade from Fox and Friends. He's talking with the Federalist's Molly Hemingway, and they're talking about the Washington Post and its headlines. This has got three.
Here's the Washington Post headline, the original one. Al-Baghdadi, Islamic State's terrorist-in-chief, dies at 48. Makes sense. But they quickly changed to Al-Baghdadi, austere religious scholar at the helm of Islamic State, dies at 48. But the last one was Al-Baghdadi, extremist leader of Islamic State, dies at 48. Kind of generic.
And it wasn't just that headline. That entire article was very gentle toward this man who was a serial rapist, genocidal murderer, someone who had killed so many Americans and other people who opposed his political and religious agenda. It is not necessary that you do this type of coverage. And yet they weren't the only ones who did it. There were other people as well.
And we're going to hear from some of those other people. This is, I'm going to play Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar from The View, and then Chris Jansing from MSNBC, and then finally Joe Scarborough of MSNBC, and this is what they had to say about the Al-Baghdadi killings, cut four.
Can we at least agree that the world is a better place without this guy in it?
Who, Trump or the Baghdadi?
We don't trust him. We don't trust that he's a real American.
Do you agree with intelligence and counterterrorism officials who are cited by the Times as saying this raid occurred largely in spite of President Trump's actions, not because of them?
He sounded not like a president of the United States. He actually sounded like Saddam Hussein after torturing people.
There's wow. Your mainstream media.
Go ahead. That's so shameful that these people have, I think it's fair to say, some of them have more hatred for Donald Trump than they do for terrorists. This guy was an animal.
Well, that's what Joy Behar just said. She was joking, but she was being serious at the same time.
The crowd laughed.
Guy was an animal, and some media pundits were upset about how President Trump was talking degrading about him.
We're talking about the leader of ISIS.
Yes.
Okay, they've been murdering people by the thousands over.
If Joy Behar had been over there under ISIS control, they would have cut her head off.
Right.
Right.
Like they did other Americans.
And she's making a joke that that President Trump is the equivalent of.
That's beyond
Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah.
But you're right, Walker. They do hate. They hate President Trump more than they love the country.
Whoopi Goldberg was at least trying.
Yes, she was.
To get some kind of balance. Yes. Can we all agree on that? And
Joy Behar couldn't do that.
Wouldn't even do that.
No. Yeah. And then Scarborough there. And who was the other one before?
The other one was a fill-in host.
Can we play that one more time?
Her name is Chris Jensen. It's 29 seconds.
Let's play it one more time.
Can we at least agree that the world is a better place without this guy in it?
Who, Trump or the Baghdadi?
We don't trust him. We don't trust that he's a real American.
Do you agree with intelligence and counterterrorism officials who are cited by the Times as saying this raid occurred largely in spite of President Trump's actions, not because of them?
He sounded not like a president of the United States. He actually sounded like Saddam Hussein after torturing people.
Who was that last
Joe
one?
Scarborough. Yeah. Talking about when President Trump announced the killing.
How do you say that they killed Baghdadi in spite of President Trump? What does that even mean?
Right.
Well, they're trying to say, let's don't credit him in any way for the killing of the top ISIS
leader. This is just sickening.
Yeah, it is.
It's just absolutely sickening.
And I think a majority of Americans have caught on to it.
Yes.
And it is, as President Trump says, it's fake news.
Yeah.
Huh? I mean, they take the mask off. They just hate Trump, and they're going to try to get him at all costs. Yeah. So they're all in. The liberal news media, they're all in.
Even if it means sympathizing with mass murderers.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Really, don't give him any credit at all for anything positive.
Right.
All right, Steve, thank you.
My pleasure.
We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.